Hey everyone.
Hola a todos.
This is Jaira.
And this is Stephanie. And welcome back to Cuento Crimen Podcast.
Feliz miércoles a todos. How's everyone doing? We hope your all day has been smooth so far. Smooth week, smooth month, just smooth in general.
Yeah, we hope everyone's having a good month. Now we're well into the year. So we hope everything is going well. And yeah, but we're here for a true crime case. Hoy vamos a hablar sobre el caso de Lisa Marie Young, an Indigenous woman missing from Vancouver Island in Canada. And this case has not gotten any answers for over two decades.
This case has gotten coverage, but it's because of the family's efforts. People who have chosen to help, y también la comunidad, and Tlokiet First Nation. And as usual, we will talk about sensitive topics. Queremos darles una advertencia porque vamos a hablar de temas sensibles.
And again, queremos decir que hablamos de estos casos con todo respeto a las familias y a las víctimas. Okay, let's jump in.
Lisa Marie Young was 21 years old at the time, and she was born in Nanaimo, British Columbia, Canada. And this was the same location where she disappeared, and the same authorities that are meant to serve her failed her, as critiques and rumors claim. This case has many examples on how the authorities disregarded the need for justice and how they did not show compassion nor empathy towards the family.
And this is a case where her mother chose to withhold a specific detail. And this was that she didn't want the media to know that her daughter was Indigenous. Porque ella tenía miedo que that her daughter's case wouldn't be taken serious. She herself, for a while, didn't make any appearances on interviews because, you know, people can make an assumption that, you know, she's Indigenous and her daughter is Indigenous. And I think that's crazy that that's something you have to think about.
Yeah.
You know, it's so sad that, you know, families might feel this way.
It should not have to be this way whatsoever.
Everyone deserves the same attention, the same resources. Mm-hmm. And you don't have to, you know, hide your identity. Like, it's a part of you. And I don't know. It's just very sad.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Everyone should be able to feel safe enough to go to authorities and ask for help. Lisa was born to Don Young and Marlene Joanne Martin. And we saw almost all articles referring to her mother as Joanne, so that's just what we're going to do in this episode.
Lisa was their firstborn, and then later she had two little siblings with the name of Brian and Robbie. And they had supportive grandparents, Moses Martin and Cecilia Arnett. And FYI, the grandfather, Moises Martin, was the tribal chief of the Tlokiet First Nation.
We also read that Lisa was a foster kid and had foster siblings as well. But la razón por qué esto era no pudimos encontrar, we're not completely too sure. But her family was described with kind words. Lisa, now a young adult, loved her parents so much that she was living right next door to them. And I feel like that shows you how much they got along, because if you did not get along, the last place you want to live with is right next door.
Yeah.
She also loved her brothers and she was always making time for them.
Yeah. Creo que that's a really clear description of like their relationship. To live next to your parents, it's like they're your parents, but they're also your friends. Like you want to be around them. You want to hang out with them. So yeah, ella se llevaba bien con sus papás y sus hermanos. And one of our sources, the Native Women's Association of Canada, mentioned her zodiac sign, and it was a Taurus. And they also went into it. And the reason why this came up was because they were trying to describe her. And she was a person that didn't argue just to argue. She was a kind person who would stand up for something she believed in, something that she felt very strong about. And yeah, so I think it describes what the zodiac sign, Taurus.
Yeah, I'm a Taurus too, and I feel like people say that about me. Like, they say that I'm stubborn, and like that, like, if I feel a certain way about something, like, I'm not going to back down.
You're not going to let it go.
You're going to let it go, and, you know, I'm working on it.
And so, a little bit more about her. Since a very young age, a ella le decían que era muy independiente, una persona que trabajaba duro, someone who was outgoing, que tenía mucha confidence, and And again, the Native Women's Association of Canada reported that she was walking at 7 months. Like, that is so little.
Wow, mm-hmm. Yeah.
7 months
seven
is like...
7 months. That's impressive.
Super impressive. And yeah, she was described as someone who was determined and yeah, like a go-getter and everything.
And some of her friends said that there was something about her that made her stand out. Like, you know, those people that you just are so drawn to and like, there's just something about them. Yeah, this was her. And I think that's such a sweet comment because very, very few people are described as that.
Yeah, she was someone full of life and she enjoyed being social. Tenía muchos amigos and she liked rollerblading at the waterfront. So this kind of describes that, you know, she was so social and still had like a healthy lifestyle. We also read because she was vegetarian and she loved fitness.
And Lisa Marie was living right next to her parents' apartment, like we had mentioned. But she was also in the process of moving apartments to Northern Nanaimo. And among other things going on in her life, she was about to start a new job and was considering pursuing higher education.
Y uno de sus sueños era que she wanted to become a television broadcaster. So she had a lot going, right? She was in the middle of moving mm-hmm. and, you know, thinking about going back to education and, you know, with all the things in life. Yeah.
So like Steph is saying, like, ella tenía like a lot going on for her right now. You know, she was very physically active, was still very social. She had all her goals straight and she was just such a busy person. Like she was on the go, 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 go. And she finally decided to make some time para salir y disfrutar el 29 de junio del 2002. And it's also Canada Day weekend. So she and a couple of friends decided to go out to a nightclub at around 11 p.m., and they actually had planned to meet at the nightclub. So they weren't going to the club together. Like, cada quien iba a llegar allí y ahí se iban a quedar de ver. And although some articles did mention a name, none of them mentioned a consistent name. So we're just going to keep it as a nightclub. And we also read that she worked at this specific nightclub before. But again, también miramos some inconsistencies with that. So we're not too sure about it.
And before she left, sus papás le dijeron que no vaya. You know, they kind of tried to convince her to stay in because the next day she was going to move apartments. And you know how moving is, you know, it gets busy.
Ugh, it's a work.
It's a, you know, a long day, if not two, trying to get everything out of your old place and into the new one and then try to organize it. Mm-mm. Like, it's a long process. And so that's why sus papás le dijeron que no, que se quede to wind down and get ready for the next day. But Lisa really wanted to go out and celebrate with her friends. I mean, she is moving, so maybe it's like, let me go get a drink before a big day tomorrow, you know? And so that is the last thing that her parents knew. You know, they saw her walk out and that was the last time they saw her.
And after that night, they didn't hear from her, but they thought it was because she had a busy schedule. You know, like, I mean, she's probably tired from the night before and now she has to jump right into moving. So it's like a lot of things are happening. But that changed and they completely got concerned when Lisa's roommate went over to her parents and told her that Lisa never came back home and that she has no idea about Lisa's whereabouts.
Entonces sus papás empiezan a hacer llamadas. Ellos quieren averiguar si alguien la vio o si alguien sabe algo de ella. Pero cuando llaman a todos sus conocidos, nadie sabe nada. And so that's when they contacted the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. So this is a RCMP. But they told the family that they needed to wait 48 hours before they made a missing persons report.
Which again, hemos visto esto en otros episodios that we've covered. And again, we're just here to remind you that this is false. Like even in Canada, this is false. You do not have to wait 48 hours to report someone missing.
This claim makes me mad for many reasons. And one of them is like the contradiction. Like there's authorities telling you that you have to wait 48 hours. Mm-hmm. But then there's other professionals who say like the first 48 hours are the most important for investigation. So it's like... okay, can we get on the same page and just agree that you don't have to wait and it's you gotta jump in?
Yeah.
And so the family did not listen and they did everything in their power to try to get her name out. The family contacted local news. Y también la comunidad empezó a poner flyers all over town. También people donated to the search efforts. Y así empezaron las búsquedas.
And honestly, it was not easy for the family to work with RCMP. And this is how it was throughout the whole case. We'll share examples throughout the episode on how there was really no support from the RCMP. And it was just kind of creating tension between them and the family, which honestly really sucks because, you know, like, the family needs them. They need the family. Like, they need to work together to try to find Lisa.
Yeah, I think that's a place that you don't want to be at because how are you, like, I don't know. It's just like authorities shouldn't do that to families, you know,
like, creating why give that them a distance. Harder time than what they're already going through.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, the family is going through the worst nightmare. So they shouldn't have to feel like they're up against authorities in literally their biggest time of need.
And so moving along with the case, so one of the first things that they did was that an investigator did go and collect a photo of Lisa, which, I mean, it's the least you can do, right? Y después de eso, la mamá trató de llamar a los investigadores a ver si habían unos cambios en el caso or like what have they noticed. But it turns out that they were not available because they were actually off from work for a few days.
I think this is wrong on so many levels. Like, okay, yes, if maybe a detective has days off, okay, but before you leave, you kind of have to have someone step up for your case, right? Yeah. For your active and recent case. So the fact that she can't talk to anyone about the case, about her daughter, it's frustrating. Like, how can you go on vacation without having someone take over your work, you know?
So. And it's just like you're saying, like, certain hours are so crucial to the investigations. Mm-hmm. It's like, how can you just, like, leave and, like, it's not like whatever happened to Lisa. It's like, oh, yeah, we're just going to pause till you come back.
Mm-hmm. There is no pausing. There is no waiting. So, yeah, la familia no se iba a quedar con las manos cruzadas. Ellos empezaron a hacer sus propias búsquedas.
And so, backtracking a little bit, what did happen the night that she went out? So, esa noche que ella hizo planes de ir al club, they were out celebrating a friend's birthday. And all was well, they were feeling the vibes, you know, they were in the party mood. Y ellas quisieron seguir la fiesta. And someone in the group started talking to a man who was also there in the parking lot. And this stranger offered them a ride to a house party. It's a bit unclear of who knew of this party, like if it was Lisa's friends or just the guy that they saw at the parking lot that brought it up. But someone brought up a party and they were just like, yes, let's go. Like, you know, they want to keep the party going. Y entonces este hombre, which by the way, he had a red Jaguar, took them into his car and he ended up taking them to two separate parties.
And around 4 a.m., Lisa tenía hambre y este muchacho with the red Jaguar offered her to take her to get food. And la razón era porque she was vegetarian, so he offered her to take her to a nearby restaurant. And no one else was hungry, or maybe there was other food at the party, and Lisa couldn't eat that. So it was just Lisa and the Jaguar guy that left.
See, that's so scary. Like, even if, like, you and I are partying and you're hungry and I'm not, and someone's taking, like, some stranger's taking you to get food, I'm coming with you.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know. Is it just us or, like, is that a thing, right? Like, you never leave your friends alone.
You never leave your friends alone. Like, if we were in that scenario, I'd go with you and probably get something out of that menu, you
right?
know?
Right, yeah.
Like, even though I don't maybe eat the same thing, you know?
Yeah. And so this is, like, where it gets even worse because while she's gone, no sabemos si le habla o le manda un mensaje de texto a Dallas Julis, which is one of her friends. It's actually the person who was celebrating their birthday. Y ella le manda este mensaje como a las 4:30 de la mañana y le dice, and we quote, I don't know what's going on. This guy won't bring me back. We're sitting in a driveway on Bowen Road and he won't bring me back. I'm bored. I'm getting pissed off, end quote. And then she sends another one saying, quote, they won't leave me alone, end quote. And that must be so scary. Like, hello, like that's the biggest red flag. Like mm-hmm. that is the red flag. Like she's literally saying, this guy does not want to bring me back.
Mm-hmm.
It's scary to think about.
Yeah, this is like a lot to take in, right? Mm-hmm. And also like friends are drinking. We don't know the levels of how, you know, intoxicated they mm-hmm. are. And also it's a message that the friend is receiving, but what can he do? Like, how fast can he get there?
Yeah.
Doesn't know the severity of it. And this is really important in the case because now this location that they are at, that is a place of focus, right?
But now it's like, where is this house?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, yeah, like, okay, but now, like, which is the house? And another question is, so who is this man with the red Jaguar? And later on, the family was able to identify him as Christopher William Adair, who was 27 years old. He was questioned, and Lisa's mother was there, and she claims that when she walked in there, there were three words on the board: murder, rape, accident. And she also said that the authorities asked her to hug the Jaguar guy. It's a little weird.
Yeah, it is. Like, that is almost like unethical, I feel like. So much wrong with that.
Hello, like, I work with kindergartners and we talk about consent. You don't make someone hug someone, especially in a situation like
this. In this situation, yeah. Like, yeah, there is still a lot to figure out in this case. But still, you don't go and hug a person of interest.
Yeah.
Or a person that might be involved or was a part of that night, you know? And so she was able to ask him, where is her daughter? And his response was, and I quote, "I can't. I'm sorry. I don't mean to disrespect your family," end quote.
Like, what? You don't mean to disrespect my family, but you know where... It seems like you know what happened to my daughter, but you're not trying to tell me. Okay. He claims to have dropped her off because she wanted to take a taxi home. And that was it. No hay nada que habla más de lo que pasó with this interview or what he had to say. All we know was that at the end of the day, this guy was cleared.
So at this point, investigators have nothing. No tienen evidencia real. And so they have nothing else to do but let the guy go. And this Jaguar guy was just a person of interest. He was interviewed, but there is no public information as to what went on in that interview or what he said for them to let him go.
And some of you may be wondering if they took a look at the car, right? Porque pues este es el carro en donde se metió Lisa por la última vez as we know. And they did. They did investigate and they did look into it. But of course, they did look into this car after it was cleaned. So who knows what was there before? And resulta que el carro le pertenecía a su abuelita, who was a successful real estate lady. So yeah, so the car was looked at by the RCMP, but again, like, they released it. The car had been cleaned, it checked out, and there was nothing there that could point them to Lisa.
We also read que la abuela vendió el carro and that she allegedly threatened to sue the RCMP. And maybe the reason why she did that is because she's being an overprotective grandmother to the Jaguar guy.
And so how is the search going? Members of the Tilokia First Nation of the Tofino area were the ones who were mainly conducting the searches, not the RCMP, sino la comunidad de Lisa. Like, they were the ones that were acting immediately.
Ellos fueron los que pusieron flyers all over town, and ellos fueron los que decidieron poner la foto del muchacho, which, you know, is the Jaguar guy. They decided to put his photo on the flyer, and the RCMP les dijo que no hagan eso. They told them not to include his photo on the flyer, but they still did.
And rumors state that a woman called saying that Lisa's body was being moved. Pero no sabemos si los investigadores, you know, looked into this, si la llamada was just, you know, an awful prank, or if anything really came from it.
The first search that the RCMP conducted was in mid-September after a lot of delays and whatnot, like all these claims for them to postponing the search, right? And if we think back, when did she go missing? She went missing in June, and they're doing the first search in mid-September.
In this search, they looked around Domont and Biggs Road, but they didn't find anything related to Lisa.
In December 2020, RCMP conducted a search at Nanaimo Lakes Road residence and on the Morrell Sanctuary. And it's all connected. I think this is like a residence and the Morrell Sanctuary. I think it's like all in the same area. Like, it's connected. So it's a big area.
And, you know, this was a residence house. So it's like, could this be the one that was rumored that Lisa was taken to by the Jaguar guy, right? Because, like, if we recall, ella le llama a su amigo y le dice pues que they don't want to return her and that she's just sitting in the driveway of this house. So everyone's thinking, like, is this the house? The neighbor of this house claims, though, to have seen a body in a hammock, and shortly after he saw equipment moving soil, and so he called it in, all during the early phases of Lisa's disappearance.
I feel like there's a lot going on in this case, right? Mm-hmm. There's a person of interest, and there is a place, a location that they're looking at. And then there's these things that maybe a neighbor saw, and they're reporting it. So I feel like there's a lot to look into. Mm-hmm. Like, these are solid leads. But even then, there is no arrest made in this case. And the Jaguar guy and his whereabouts are unknown.
See, I feel like there were so many solid leads, but because they let so much time pass by, these mm-hmm. leads kind of just disintegrated. Like, there was, like, the Jaguar guy now is gone. If they had soil and the body, who knows where the body is now? Like, they had so much time to move things around, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There have been many critiques on this case, and I feel like very right so. And, you know, just overall how it was handled and the disinterest in authorities. And honestly, the following really bugged me. And I feel like it also bugs Steph, right? Mm-hmm. So the mother wanted an reenactment video made by Crime Stoppers. But the investigators said that Crime Stoppers stopped doing them. You know, like that wasn't a possibility. But the mother knew this wasn't true, and so she herself reached out to Crime Stoppers to request their help in making a reenactment video. And they said that the request had to come from the RCMP investigator.
Entonces, esto significa que los investigadores le mintieron a su cara. Le dijeron que no, que the Crime Stoppers ya no hacían estos videos, mm-hmm. that it wasn't a possibility. Pero she went and found out an answer for herself. And it's sad because, like, the request has to come from an RCMP. So she uh-huh. is going back and forth, fine. Just trying to get a video. Like, why is the RCMP saying that it's not a possibility? Why does the person, investigator, not want a reenactment video? Yeah. It's only going to help. It's not going to harm the case. And so she goes back and les da esta información a los investigadores. But the idea, the request, it's shut down. The investigator le dice que no, that they thought the video would not be helpful.
But it's like, okay, if it's not helpful or if it is helpful, like, what is it to you? Like, what do you lose? Like, mm-hmm. if you don't lose anything from it, then why would you be so against it?
Mm-hmm. Finally, in May 2009, the reenactment video was made.
It was in 2009. She went missing in 2002.
Mm-hmm.
So 7 years later.
For a reenactment video.
The Native Women's Association of Canada reported that the mom acknowledges some of the detectives and noted that one has a picture of Lisa on his desk, meaning that some detectives do care. ¿Verdad? No estamos diciendo que todos son iguales or like that all of them are not doing their job. Like, obviously, you know, there's some there that are trying their very best. I'm glad that, you know, Lisa's mom at least got to see some of them on her side and, you know, that they also do want answers.
Each year since 2003, on June 30th, Lisa's loved ones, families, and community gather on that day for an event called Walk for Lisa. And this begins at the Nanaimo RCMP detachment, and they march through the streets of downtown. And they do this in efforts to keep Lisa's image in the public eye, and for investigators in the community not to forget about her.
And unfortunately, Lisa's mom passed away at the age of 54 due to health conditions. She had some kidney failure in 2017. Some say that her health declined because of, you know, just everything that was happening with her daughter. And I think it's just so sad que, you know, she left and she will never know what happened to her daughter. And so fast forward to, you know, present day, just last year in 2023, a graphic designer donated a design for road signs and they were put up at the location in donde Lisa was taken last, which was Bowen Road. And it's kind of disturbing to talk about, but like after these signs were put up, they got taken down again and again. So it's like they would put them up, alguien las quitaba, los volvían a poner y otra vez las quitaban. And I just feel like that's just... It's disrespectful. Like, this is their way of showing and keeping Lisa's memory alive. And for someone to, like, just take that away. It's just like, why?
Mm-hmm. And now stirring the conversation back a bit, the Native Women's Association of Canada commented on how the family was connected to victim services and how the family didn't feel connected to the person that they were speaking because of something that they said, and I quote, "Most couples don't survive a marriage after a loss of a child," end quote. And that this person was also saying, and I quote, "God bless," end quote. But that's something that they don't believe in. And I, first of all, I think that first quote is very brutal to say to a family. Like, yeah, if it's a statistic, okay, but you don't bring that up to someone who's grieving.
Yeah.
And I just think it's important to get to know who you're talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And being respectful, taking the extra time to learn about them and how you can actually, you know, be there for them and support them and guide them. Because it's important to know that we all come from like different backgrounds, different beliefs. So I think that's something important to know that we haven't seen in the episodes that we've covered.
Yeah.
I think we've learned a lot in this case.
I think, yeah, we did learn a lot from this case. And I do think that there's a lot to this case. Así como hubo muchos problemas entre la familia and the RCMP and, you know, just no one really being there for Lisa. There's also a lot of theories as to what happened to her. And like, we're looking through dozens of sources, you know, and one of them had, click here to see what really happened to Lisa Marie Young. And I think that's like one of the things that we didn't want our podcast to do, like to be insensitive. You know, like Lisa is a person and her family is going through like this horrible time trying to find their loved one. And like, it's just, it's crazy. Just like, oh yeah, just like click here, like a click away. Y tú puedes saber todo lo que le pasó. When in reality, like things aren't that straightforward with this case. And I don't know, it's just, it kind of rubs you the wrong way to see things like that.
Another thing that we saw when we were researching this case is that, you know, Lisa had a lot of friends. She was loved. She was social. And we read that one of her friends, Allison Crow, wrote a song for her. And it's called Lisa's Song. And it's just a super touching song. And you can really feel the emotion, the grief, wanting her to come home. And you get to see that perspective of like a friend losing a friend searching for a friend.
For a friend. And, you know, at the end of the day, like it's been years since Lisa has gone missing and this disappearance case is being treated as a homicide.
We want to take the time to recommend a podcast called Where is Lisa by Laura Palmer, who covered this case as a series. And she goes into way much more detail. She interviews the families. You get to learn about Lisa on a different level, her background. She interviews the reporter that covered this case and followed this case and got close to the family. She also interviews a psychic who worked on the case. And she also talks about a lead, a theory, or how there could be a snuff video out there. And this snuff video allegedly is of a group of people who killed Lisa and how this video can be out there. And overall, there's so many details in her work in this podcast. There's just so much to cover because her family has kept Lisa's name out there for the last two decades. They keep advocating. And yeah, so this is a great podcast if you want to learn about Lisa Marie Young with a lot more details.
Yeah, like Steph was saying, like, hay mucho que ver en este caso, like a lot of layers. And, you know, her family has been very consistent in the searches for Lisa. But unfortunately, like, we are a one episode show. So, like, you know, mostly, like, we just focus on one, maybe two episodes on a case. We don't really have the resources to do a whole series. But yeah, like Steph was saying, for those of you who may be interested in knowing more about this case, definitely check out the podcast. They definitely go a lot more in detail on this case.
The Nanaimo mayor, Leonard Krog, read a statement and he declared that June 25th for Lisa Marie Young Day and June 30th as lights on for Lisa for the night she didn't come home.
So again, despite the years that have passed, this is still an open case. Lisa has never been found. And so if anyone listening has any information on her whereabouts or anything about this case, this information can be reported to the Nanaimo RCMP non-emergency line at 250-754-2345.
Si tienen información sobre este caso, pueden reportarla a la línea que no es de emergencia de Nanaimo RCMP al número 250-754-2345. I feel like this case has a lot of leads, mm-hmm. and I feel like investigators could potentially dig a little deeper with these leads. There's a lot of information, like the house, the Jaguar guy, mm-hmm. The grandmother. I think there's a lot the investigators can look into, and we hope that they are working on this case and find something. Maybe a fresh eyes would be good for this case. And so, yeah, we hope that y'all enjoyed this episode by sharing. You never know what could happen. You never know what that can do to help the case. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll see y'all next week.